Well, hello, my friends. This is Troy Brewer coming at you strong from Third Stage Ranch in Glen Rose, Texas. Guys, I'm going to do a very special Ukrainian update and tell you what all's happened on our end of things, what I know personally, and kind of connect some of the prophetic dots that, that we can obviously see in all this. This is a tremendous year of warfare, as I prophesied beginning back in October, that the Lord's been talking to me about warfare. Second Samuel chapter 11 in the springtime when kings go to war. 1 Kings 20, 22 talks about a declaration of war. There's actually six 2022 scriptures that involve warfare. One of the key prophetic words that God gave me for the year to come was next level 9/11 event. And you're like, whoa, Pastor Troy, that's not like you. You're a hope fanatic. Oh no, I still got hope. But know this, you live in a very dangerous time. I would encourage you to share this. Let people know about this podcast. Get this out there. And I just have to put in a couple of plugs and just say that if you need prayer at any time, you can call us at any time, 24/7 at 877-413-0888. First of all, let me give you just a little bit of history about our work in the Ukraine. We are connected with a number of churches, one apostolic pastor by the name of Pastor Dimitri. And he's a pastor, an apostolic pastor over hundreds of churches. I have been to Kiev twice. I've been to Ukraine a bunch of times. And what I found every time that I have been there is a church that is alive, a church that responds to Jesus, a church that is very proactive, a church that is really a model for the rest of the world in business and in structure and in saying, hey, we're not going to rely on the government. We're not going to rely upon people to give. We're not going to rely upon any of those things. We're going to start businesses. Pastor Dima, he doesn't even allow any of his pastors to be able to pastor a church unless they can run their own businesses. He mentors young men and young women in how to start businesses and how to work in businesses and how to be successful. And then once they're successful in that, he will actually invite them in to become a pastor of one of his churches. But he always says, hey, if I can't trust somebody with their own business, how can I trust them with the business of the kingdom? That kind of next level leadership is in Ukraine. And this last week, as the Russians invaded their borders, as they bombed their cities, as they targeted civilians, as they marched through their country, they have had unimaginable decisions to make. Hard decisions on should I stay, should I go, what is our role? But it was something that they had already determined. It was not a responsive effort. It was actually a time to pull the trigger on a predetermined response. So let me back you up just a little bit and tell you what happened. Okay, so on February the 24th, on Thursday, Russia invaded after a four-month buildup on all of the borders on both the Russian side and then also on the northern side, which is a puppet nation there. It is actually Russia, but what he wants out of the Ukraine is exactly what he has out of Belarus, is in that it's a fake government. They're just rich people that Putin has set up, and then he runs it and steals from it the way that he wants to. Putin's regime very much acts like a national mob, and he is the godfather, and that's the way that he sees it. He thinks that he is a descendant of Peter the Great. He thinks that his legacy is supposed to be like Peter the Great. And in fact, in one day, King Jesus himself is going to take all that mess, wad it up, and throw it in the septic tank where it actually belongs. On the 24th, they actually came across the borders. They invaded from the north. They invaded from the south, from the Crimea area, which they stole several years ago during the Obama administration. And they invaded. My good friend, Pastor Dima, who we partner with in ministry, he told me that I actually spoke with him on the phone. And let me just say this to you. I thought that WhatsApp is the most secure of all of the... I've heard that the crypto on all of WhatsApp is the most secure out of all of them. And the first thing that I noticed on Thursday morning is that my 9 Ukrainian contacts that run orphanages and run pastoral counseling centers and also run churches, all of them were gone off of my WhatsApp. They were all completely gone. Not only was I unable to contact them, but their numbers were no longer in there. And even my history, my personal history of all of my conversations with them were gone. I've never seen anything like that before. I don't even really even know what to think about that. Like, I didn't even think that that was possible. Not only is it possible, but it actually happened. And that happened on Tuesday. And that was the first big alarm that I got when I woke up in the morning is, that's weird that they're all gone. So I got up and started, and I asked Leanne, I said, hey, I was going to call Alexi. I was going to call Dima. I was going to call some of these other guys. And they're not on my phone anymore. And they're not in WhatsApp whatsoever. And she said, Troy, the Russian invasion has begun. And I was like, oh, King Jesus. So I jumped up, turned on the news, and between the Clinton News Network and Fox News Fiction, between the two of those, I determined that, no, it actually was, and it was happening, and here we go, and boom. I saw the same thing that you've seen, and we have looked with our mouth open from the other side of the world, knowing that this day is an incredible day, and I was able to contact 3 of my guys, and how I got a hold of them was actually through Facebook Messenger, which that also surprises me that Facebook Messenger worked, but WhatsApp didn't work. And so I contacted them, and this is what Dima told me. He said, you know, Troy, he said, I woke up and my glass was rattling. And I thought, man, what is that? He said, there was some explosions. And in his exact words, he said, it's crazy around here. That's what he told me. He said, crazy stuff going on around here. And I said, well, tell me. And he said, he stepped out on his porch. He saw fireballs. He saw ballistic missiles coming in. Big missiles, not small missiles, not the small SAM missiles, but the actual big ballistic missiles coming in. And he is just a few miles away from Crimea, in the place where we do most of our work, which is a place called Melitopol. And he said after about an hour of ballistic missiles coming in to laser-guided targets, he said that about 10 miles away from his current position, he said he saw thousands and thousands of SAM missiles. Now, I think that you know what I'm talking about. It's those trucks that have those big missile launchers on the back of those trucks. And it's like, fume, 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 fume. It's like that. He said that he saw several thousand of those. And then he said once the sun came up, again, he's standing out on his front porch of his home. He saw several hundred Russian helicopters fly directly over his house. And he actually made eye contact with the soldiers that were hanging out the side of those, carrying troops to different locations and dropping them off. So that was all within the first 2 hours of sunrise in southern Ukraine on Thursday, the 24th. So we spoke with him and said, so what's happening? He said that beginning on Monday, people began to form in his church, and his church can hold about 1,000 people, but he had more than 2,000 people actually living there because they lived in apartment complexes and they were up high above the ground, and they feared that they would be bombed. So he said, hey, look, we've been feeding people, we've been helping people. And he said, Troy, there's no gas in any of the gas stations. Troy, there is no food in any of the grocery stores. There are no medicines in any of the pharmacies whatsoever. Everything is empty. And everybody is trying to drive to Georgia or to Poland or to someplace like that. Well, once that began on Tuesday, he actually has a gas tank, a big giant gas tank, like a gas truck. It's one of the businesses that he owns. And he began to distribute free gas to all the people that had a place to go. To the people that did not have a place to go, He started offering places on the floor for people to sleep. And then, of course, providing food and water and bathrooms and things like that, basic necessities. His church is filled with thousands, literally thousands of little boys and little girls, with all of these close to 2,000 families that are staying there. And so he's like, okay, so this is what's happening. And I asked him, I said, so what, what's the bank situation like? He said, well, my debit card is still working. I think that there's a couple of days left before the banks go out. He said, but you can't go to the bank. You can't get money out of the bank, but your debit card still work. And whatever your limit is on your debit card, that's how much money you can spend per day. So I said, okay, so through our several different accounts that we have in the Ukraine, I was able to send on Tuesday afternoon $25,000, and I sent 25 grand over there and sent it to him and sent it to another brother in it, actually in the capital city of Kiev, which is a completely different story. Now, when I was talking to him, it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon by the time I finally reached him, and it was already nighttime there. And he told me, he said, Troy, you need to pray that we survive this night. And so we prayed that he would survive that night. We clicked off the phone. It was over. And we were just like, my God, because these are our friends. We have been in this home. We have been in that church. I've preached in that church many different times. I love the nation of Ukraine. I was just like, oh, my goodness. I just can't even tell you it. It felt just as bad, if not worse, than the Afghanistan debacle that also happened on Joe Biden's watch. And, you know, we were actually speaking to families that were hiding, whispering, talking through whatever Wi-Fi that they had to us, saying, please find somebody to come and get us and rescue us. In this case, what the kind of situation that the churches were facing was a situation like this. Okay. As leaders, we need to stay and we need to serve our nation and we need to serve our churches. But we have to get our families out, meaning we have to move our families out. Our wives will have to drive them and drive our kids out, which is very dangerous because now Russian troops are everywhere and we don't know what's going to happen to our wives and to our children if they get pulled over by these roaming Russian mobs. And then the horror stories started coming in on Friday. Actual videos and firsthand account testimonies of when the army tanks come onto the actual roads, they target civilian cars that are just going to drive around them and they run over those cars, actually just run them over. And the new tanks are fast. I mean, they're super duper duper fast. They'll chase you down, they'll catch you and then run you over and cause you to be a pancake inside that daggum car. And then they started hearing stories of people in cars getting pulled over by Russian troops and people getting dragged out of their car and then shot. And then they started hearing stories of people being arrested. And then some of them were released as soon as they were arrested. And others were moved to another prison or camp of some kind that they don't even know about yet. And they don't know why they let some people go and why they're arresting other people. So all of this is taking place. And then they're having to actually decide as well, okay. And this is another thing that happened. A lot of people actually packed up their families, went to the border, and as they were crossing the border, the Ukrainian army officials were like, hey, you're a grown man. You're not leaving this country. We're putting guns in your hands, and you're going to go to the front line. And so a lot of the moms and the kids actually made it across the border, but the dads were compelled to go into the army at that moment. And just said, hey, you have to fight. And then they sent them to the front line and nobody knows what has happened to them as yet against such overwhelming odds as the great Russian military power against the little Ukrainian people. This is the state of such things. Electricity has mostly remained on. Water has mostly remained on. But now we actually spoke to Helen this morning, who is actually Pastor Dima's wife. And she said, okay, how it is now is we have all been quarantined. We have to stay in our homes. We're not allowed to come outside of our home. We have been told we will be shot if we are found because of the Ukrainian citizens taking up arms – against the Russian bear. And they have every right to take up arms, and then they have every right to be shot as far as the Russians are concerned. So it is complete darkness and despair. Another friend of mine that has an orphanage in Kiev, and his orphanage is actually for 18-year-old kids and older that get out of the foster care system. And he has around 100 of those kids that are between 18 and 22 years old. Their apartment complex where they lived in, they have a big building, it was bombed, burned to the ground. They lost absolutely everything. And this beautiful family who has four kids, and then they have all of these other kids that they're taking care of, all of these young adults, they had absolutely no place to go. They were moving from one place to another place and trying to find a place to go. They knew of a church that they could go to. They were on their way to the church. And on their way to the church, they were pulled over. At first, they were pulled over by Russians. And the Russians pulled them over, got them all out, put machine guns on them. Everybody had to put their hands on top of their head. And they said, you are going to go to a camp until we figure out what's going on. And I'm like, look, our house got bombed and we're just trying to get there. And then for no reason whatsoever, one of the Russian officers said, where do these kids come from? And he told them. And the Russian officer, who apparently was a good man, just said, you know where a place to go where it's safe? And he said, yes, sir, we do. And he said, get there quickly and let them go. So a lot of what depends upon these people depends upon if they come across good people in the Russian army or bad people in the Russian army. Everything about the Russian invasion is bad, but everybody there is following orders. And there are some people who have enough sense who even have family in the Ukraine who are like, no, we're not going to murder all these people. Let them go. Let them get to safety. We're going to take over Kiev. We're going to kill their government as we've been ordered. And we're going to put up a puppet regime there. And then we'll let everybody go back to work and they start making money. And then we'll steal all their money because we're Russia. And that's what we'll do. So they were miraculously rescued by someone that they suspect to be a Christian that let them go. And I praise God for that man. Now I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. Once they got to their church, the church was already filled, but they crammed inside of it. And then once they got inside of that place, several adults came in there, Ukrainian adults, and said, we have arms and we have guns and we need everybody above the from 16 and older, and all the way to the age of 60, we need you in the army and we're waiting on you outside. Okay, well, then there was a dissension among all the Christians inside this church of if they should join or if they should not join. Some proudly joined and jumped up as soon as they could and went out to go fight. Others were like, I feel like it's my responsibility to stay here with my family. Others were, I think that everybody in the Ukrainian army will be dead within the next couple of days. And the ones that are not dead will be in jail or in a Russian gulag. And we need to figure this out. That's the kind of decisions that they're having to make. And friends, it is hard, hard, hard. I would encourage you to be in prayer with our Ukrainian friends. And I want to tell you that I have come up with some prayer points. And I want to tell you also, too, I'm going to steal some of these from Dr. Keenan Bridges, who I have great respect for, and I follow him. He posted something and said, gave these strategic prayer points for the Russian-Ukraine conflict. And here are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that he proposes that I love this. Number one, pray for the citizens of Ukraine and for the citizens of Russia. You know about the protests that are happening in Russia. Yesterday, there had been more than 1,700 Russians who had been arrested by the Russian government for their freedom of speech to voice against this demonic action by Putin. Number two, pray for global revival and awakening in Europe. This is the key, my friends. Number three, pray that leadership will have divine encounters that will lead to redemption or judgment for those who have no fear of God. Boom. Number four, pray that they will be untethered from their demonic agendas. And number five, pray that all evil alliances will be exposed and disbanded. I like that very much, and I sign up with that, and that's five prayer points. I can tell you also practically, one of the things that we can do is any Christians that have the ability to feed people, to shelter people, to protect people, whether they go to arms or if they don't go to arms, if they are proactively there to serve and to protect people, as most of the leadership of the body of Jesus stayed. There are some places and there are some liberal parts of Ukraine where the pastors did not stay to serve and to protect the people. They bailed as soon as there was any sign of trouble, but that is not the case of most of the Ukrainian pastors and church leaders. They're very Texas-like. Their culture is very freedom-based. It's actually against the law to be a socialist in Ukraine, and I love that law. Oh, I love that law. You cannot, there's no such thing as a communist party, and it is against the law there to be a socialist or to be a communist. And they're like, nope, we've gone that route. We lived behind the Iron Curtain before. We know what socialism and communism is all about. And these guys stayed, and they're brave. This president has really inspired people all over the world. Target number one, as he has declared and said, look, I'm on the streets and I am dishing out guns to anybody that will take arms with me to fight to the last. There's been a tremendous comparison to the Alamo in the Ukraine. And I want to tell you, this invasion started on the 24th. And Travis's letter to all Americans throughout the world was written on the 24th of February, 1836. I wonder if the fall of Ukraine will actually happen on March 6th, as did the fall of the Alamo. Have you not heard about the Snake Island 13? So 13 Ukrainian soldiers on one island, and then a Russian warship showed up and said, lay down your arms, walk away, let us arrest you, surrender at discretion, yada, yada. And they gave a very flowery response, which was something akin to Travis's firing a cannon off as a response. There were 13 of those. And as soon as they responded with a really bad word. So I can't tell you what they said. But they immediately bombed them and killed all 13 of them. It is amazing to me that whenever the Texans stood up against the tyranny of Santa Anna, that was a 13-day conflict at the Alamo, and there were 13 here, and this is being compared to the Alamo. And it happened on the day, the 186th anniversary of the day that Travis wrote the famous Alamo letter. Is it prophetic? Yes. Is it the repeat of history? Yes, it is. And I pray in the name of King Jesus that people will come and help and fight these Russians. Do I expect that to happen? No. I expect most of the body of Jesus to not do anything, as the body of Jesus is world famous for doing. I expect very little or nothing out of NATO, absolutely nothing out of the United Nations. And I expect the American leadership to say, well, we're really upset about this and we plan on slapping his hand somehow, some way in the future. Yeah, that's what I expect. So here's what I would say practically that we can do. We can support those churches that are actually standing. And I'm talking about number one, we could be actively praying and declaring not only these five prayer points, but also too, the prayer points that I've listed as well, and pray for the people there. This is one of the big things that I know that we need to pray for, is for next level wisdom of all of the leadership, because they're having to make unbelievable decisions right now that are so hard that they will know what to do and when to do it, how to move throughout the country. When is it safe to move? When is it not safe to move? Who should you help? Who should you not help? Like, what? You shouldn't help some of them? No. A lot of people that are moving through the nation now are actually Russian plants. One of the ways that the Russians got into Ukraine is they dressed up like police officers, and they came into Kiev dressed up as police officers, and then they turned on people once they got there. This whole globalist thing that Russia is a part of, and also it's just so demonic. And it happened on the same exact day, on the 24th, that China began to invade Taiwan on the same exact day. You cannot tell me that they're not in cahoots together on this. They just recently got together in a very public alliance at the Olympics, and you can't tell me that they didn't plan this. They did plan this. And do I think that China will invade Taiwan? Yes, I absolutely do. I said on one of my reports that I gave on the 14th, we've had about 100,000 viewers, and I'm so grateful for that. And I encourage you guys to go and look at it. Go and look at what I said on February the 14th. I reposted it yesterday. I said, you know what? The liberal press is saying this isn't going to happen, and it's really not that big of a deal. But Ukraine absolutely believes it's going to happen, and we need to be prepared for it. CEOs have been leaving their companies, been packing up all their money, hopping on planes and leaving for the past 6 weeks, but not so with the leadership of the body of Christ there. So they're having to decide what's right for their families, what's right for their ministries, what's right for their nation. And a lot of the pastors that are my friends actually have guns in their hands right now, and they're being sent to the front line. They didn't have a choice. They're being compelled to do so. And we got to pray for them. We have to pray for the ones that are in that, like my friend in Malatopo. He's been quarantined to his house. He's not allowed to go outside. How come they didn't go to the airport? Well, because all the airports are bombed, and it's a no-fly zone. So they're facing such hard things, and that is happening as we speak. If you'd like to stand with us and standing with these people, and we're sending a ton of money and a ton of support in several different locations over there. If you go to troybrewer.com, there's actually a tab on there that says Ukraine, and it'll put it straight in that account, and we'll send it straight there. So guys, we need to be in prayer. We need to pray for each other. We need to be wise. I don't know if you've seen the prophetic connection between Canada and what's going on in the Ukraine. Justin Trudeau called a Jewish lady who was actually speaking for the Canadian truckers. He called her a Nazi at the same exact time, just following that. Putin called the Jewish leader of Ukraine a Nazi. Horses ran over a protester in Calgary, I think it was, that was in Canada. And then we all caught it on tape and saw the video of army tanks running over people, innocent civilians, same as in Canada. I mean, are you seeing the prophetic connections of all this? It is just uncanny. The global effect of this and the global consequences of this could be totally catastrophic. It could literally lead to World War III if that knucklehead invades another one of the NATO nations, which is right next door to it. And that is saying that if the covenant between the NATO nations would stand, I think that he will test that. And I think that what he'll find is that there's a bunch of limp-wristed pansies that is in charge of the leadership of most of our nations now. All right. Prayer, solidarity, standing with those that stand, actively participating, and be in the hands and feet of King Jesus, not being afraid, speaking the truth, declaring it, honoring honorable things, honoring bravery, all those kinds of things, selflessness. This is the role of the body of King Jesus. Friends, this is Troy Brewer, and I'm going to let you go. I've got a busy day today. Thank you so much for listening. Guys, let's continue to pray for the people of Ukraine. And until the next time I see you, I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye.